This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening. Bulldog is back tomorrow. I'm Mike Shope, Sal Capaccio, and Chad DeDominicis still to come. Today, the NHL draft lottery tonight, and if you don't know, that is a big deal here in Buffalo. To some, anyway. To the Sabres, on an annual basis. Joining me now is Spencer German, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Spencer, have we spoken before? 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, sorry. Have we spoken before?
I think so, yeah. I think you guys had me on earlier this year talking about Myles Garrett potentially.
Yeah, I think maybe that was my co-host. I have just sort of followed you because of your Rochester roots, and I was there. You and I have that in common, sort of learning this in college in Rochester. You're RIT, and I'm Fisher.
Yeah, so I actually went to school out here in Cleveland, but I worked at RIT for a couple of years, and that's why, I'm sure that's probably why you like picked up on the pass there. But yeah, I knew that about you going to Fisher, and obviously there's some great schools up there that obviously there's a lot of connections and rivals, and it's always in good fun.
Yes, right. You were not a student at RIT, but then went back there. I read on your bio, I worked in some had some different radio and radio related gigs in Rochester. Very cool. Well. That's mostly a coincidence here today, Spencer. The Browns are so interesting right now. You know, I made the crack about the Sabres as you were waiting to come on. Maybe there's a comparison here, just kind of waiting for the day to arrive as it has for the Bills, where, you know, the sun comes out. And the Browns, I would, you know, acknowledge in the last decade have had, you know, a few moments. But what is it like right now with them? You're maybe a little close to being post Deshaun Watson. The draft certainly was interesting. The Hunter trade, there's a lot. How do you feel the fans overall feel about what the Browns are right now?
I think fans have kind of accepted that this team is in a rebuilding phase. I actually think that Jimmy Haslam, the team owner's statements at the owner's meetings back in March, where he flat out said that the Deshaun Watson trade was a swing and a miss, and that they have a hole to dig themselves out of. I think that was actually a really big step for the organization and the fan base kind of mending fences, if you will, because it has been sort of this tenuous relationship the last couple of years with a lot of fans who weren't happy that they brought in Deshaun. And then on top of it, Deshaun wasn't playing very well, so that just compounded things. And so for them to kind of come out and admit, like, yeah, we messed up on this, I think that sort of got people in the right headspace to start moving forward and moving on and looking ahead to the future. So as much as, you know, Brown fans, by the time the season rolls around, they'll always talk themselves into the team being something special. That's just how – you guys know how that works in Buffalo, too. Like, there's these are two passionate fan bases that love their teams, and they always are going to, you know, see the positive spin on it. But I think everybody kind of understands that this team's in a little bit of a rebuild right now. They will likely get out from the Deshaun contract next year by making him a June 1st designation cut and split the money over two seasons. And that'll kind of close the door on that era. And it looks like they kind of set themselves up now to potentially draft their real franchise quarterback next year. But in the meantime, they have kind of this fun, quirky quarterback room with a bunch of different faces and names and style of players. And we'll see how that all kind of shakes out when they have this open competition. So I think it's kind of a realization that the team's, you know, a work in progress, but they're going to try to enjoy the ride while they can.
Yes. It's funny how it works with fans because, again, this reminds me of the Sabres. There are times when you really want the team to just sort of be real and even tank, you know, take a step back. The comment you made about Haslam, what he said about Watson, you know, we love to hear an owner or an executive admit a mistake. So there's that. And, you know, we might want them to be worse next year for the benefits, whereas a team has the challenge of the players. And that can be tough. I don't know exactly how that would work internally. There are a lot of guys on a football team, but the Browns owe their players some level of commitment, you know, to winning games this year. But everybody kind of knows that it's more in their best interest to not, probably.
Yeah, and that's the thing that obviously, like, you know, Kevin Stefanski, the coaching staff, they have to kind of balance those things. They can't truly tank, and that's why I think when you use the word tank, like, players take offense to that because they're putting their bodies on the line every single week. Like, they're not going out there and trying to lose on purpose. I think the Browns are kind of in an interesting situation, though, especially after the draft where they traded back with the Jaguars and got that second first-round pick. I don't think they're going to be, you know, a great team anyway this year. Now, I think, you know, their ceiling might be somewhere on, like, 9 wins if they have a really good year, and maybe they're flirting with the playoffs, but you know, I think the Vegas total is still around like 5.5 for them or 4.5, somewhere in that range. So I'm anticipating they're still not going to be a great team. Now, you can make an argument that if they just had competent offense last year, they probably do win more than the 3 games that they won, and that's fair. So with competent offense, like, I think they can sort of be like a middling team. But, you know, because they have that second round pick, or that second first round pick rather, like, that's okay. Because they'll have an opportunity, or they'll be in a place where even if they finish with like 7 wins, 8 wins, and they're out of the top 10 in terms of picking, they have a second first rounder that they can pair to try to get up and maybe get that quarterback anyway. So I think because of how Andrew Berry handled the draft and him making that move, they sort of did thread the needle on, hey, let's try to be competitive, even though we might not be. And, you know, if we stink and we have, you know, a top 10 pick, and maybe the Jaguars stink and we have another top 10 pick or a top 12 or 15 pick on top of the one that we have, then, you know, maybe we come away with 2 great players, or we package them together and get a quarterback. So I think they're kind of in a unique situation in that way.
Yes. Spencer German, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, my guest. That's always a fun thing. This is another one we know about through the years with hockey or the Bills, where you have another team's first and you can just root against them. And hope that, you know, like the Bears with Carolina, Spencer, just, I mean, the Bears, I think, might have picked 9th last year, but having that not free, but number 1 overall turned out well for them after that Bryce Young trade. So you used the word quirky earlier to describe the quarterback room. I like it. First of all, how do you think, or maybe you think you know, how they want to play it? Open competition, you also said. What does that look like when it's 4 guys?
Yeah, so I think Flacco and Kenny Pickett go in sort of as the leaders in the clubhouse, obviously, being the veterans of the group, and it's going to be up to Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders to sort of compete to earn that job. What I think is, it truly is, from all accounts, going to be, though, you know, a go out, play, let's see what the off-season program brings, let's see what training camp brings, let's see what preseason brings. And then they'll make their decisions on, you know, who's the starter and kind of go from there. What's interesting with them drafting 2 quarterbacks, though, is now they're in this really interesting situation because they always carry 4 quarterbacks in the offseason, but we know they're not going to do that during the regular season. So somebody's the odd man out. Is it Flacco, who's the elder statesman of the group, and maybe you go young and you try to let Kenny Pickett start and then at some point turn it over to one of the rookies or both of the rookies? Is it hey, you drafted Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round. Maybe he increases his value from what it was on during draft weekend, clearly. And you can flip him for a pick or something at the end of the training camp. Andrew Berry, the last 2 years, 2023, he actually traded Josh Dobbs to the Cardinals and got a fifth-round pick out of it right at the end of training camp. He tried to do the same thing last year. He floated both Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley, who were on the roster, and nobody really took the bait, so they ended up just cutting Huntley and keeping Jameis Winston. But he has this tendency to sort of shop one of those guys at the end of training camp. So I think that's kind of the fun question in this is, who is the player that they likely try to shop at the end of training camp to cut that room down to three? And I don't think it's going to be Dylan Gabriel because they used a third-round pick on him. They probably want to be right about that pick, unless Shedeur Sanders really dazzles and maybe is the one rookie they keep. To me, it sort of comes down to, is it going to be Flacco or is it going to be Kenny Pickett, who earns the starting job, and then they maybe try to trade the other one?
Right, or he's released, yeah. I was thinking the same thing when you laid that out about Gabriel. The fact that you picked him on day two, that's a really bad look. If you release him, like, you just basically wasted the pick to keep your fifth-round quarterback over him. And how do you cut Sanders? I mean, you can't do that. Like you mentioned, a trade maybe. Wow. I mean, it's really interesting and maybe unique what the Browns have done. What do you know, Spencer, about their process at the draft with the quarterbacks in mind? The common throwaway line that I tend to hear is that the owner made the Sanders pick. But I don't know if that's fair. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the initial reaction when they traded up to get him, I think everybody in the media room sort of felt that was probably what transpired. Like, oh, this is a Jimmy Haslam pick. But as the dust has settled on it, I don't feel as inclined to think that. Like I'll put it to you this way: he might have felt strongly about Shedeur Sanders. He might have liked Shedeur Sanders and felt going into day three, like they always talk about doing things collaboratively. Like everyone has an opinion; they all sort of get to put their heads together on these big decisions. They've continually said that about the Deshaun Watson conversation and why they traded for him and all that. It was a group effort. So I'm imagining they all were having conversations. And maybe Jimmy did like Shedeur Sanders and especially liked him when he was available on day three in the fifth round. So I'm not saying, like, I do think it's probably possible that he could have at least spoken up and said, well, hey, he's there. Why don't we try to get him here in the fifth round? Like, it makes sense. We don't really have a quarterback right now anyway. Like, the more the merrier. And so maybe that was part of the conversation. But I don't know that he, like, pounded the table to go up and for sure make them get him, like, force their hand to go trade for him. And it does make sense. Like, Shedeur, even though he fell to the fifth round, the consensus, even after the draft, has been that he was graded by most teams as a day two guy, so second or third round, and that it was really just these meetings that tanked his stock and sort of scared people away from actually trying to draft him. And so understanding that, like, the value was 100% there. So it was only going to take one team to decide, hey, this is the spot. Like, and I can't blame the Browns either in that respect, because now I can blame them for taking Dylan Gabriel where they did. That was, I think, the most perplexing thing they did on draft weekend. Mm-hmm. But to end up with Shedeur Sanders as a fifth-round pick, like, nobody's really knocked them for that. So even if the owner did have some say in it, I don't think it's the end of the world, because, as Andrew Berry said, they felt at that point he has a good chance of outperforming his draft spot. And, you know, if he somehow dazzles and wins the job or becomes the immediate backup, like, I think that's 100% true.
Interesting. I would look at it, too, and I don't know hardly anything about their dynamic, Spencer, but for the owner to even suggest the Sanders pick, however it's right to put it, to me, that's a sign of respect towards Stefanski. I mean, we talk about the Giants a lot, of course, and like, oh, well, they have to win this year, so otherwise coach is fired, GM is fired, how do you do it? Very different than this. I mean, two-time coach of the year, would Haslam be just somebody who would do that if that's what happened regardless? Or does he think, I've got a coach here who's comfortable in his own skin, has proven he knows what he's doing, and this is a unique challenge, but I think he's up to it?
Yeah, so it's interesting because Haslam meddled a lot in his early days as an owner. Like, I that was well known around the NFL in general. And I think he's had a hard time shaking that reputation. Like, there's a lot of people that feel he still is, you know, has his nose in things. And I'll say this, like, the Deshaun decision, as bad as it was, as bad as it's turned out to be, I've never blamed, you know, Jimmy Haslam, the franchise, for what they were trying to do made sense. The thinking behind it made sense. They felt like they needed to upgrade the position. Baker had sort of realized and maxed out his full potential. There was also some behind-the-scenes stuff that I don't know how familiar it is in other markets, but here in Cleveland it's well-reported that he didn't necessarily, like, get along with everybody in the locker room. I think him and Myles Garrett butted heads a lot. So there was some tension on that front of, like, why they wanted to move on from Baker Mayfield. And so, yeah, like, if you're going to move on from a quarterback that, you know, is at least, like, middle of the road, like, an average quarterback in this league, like, you put him probably, you know, in that middle tier range of guys, like, you want to get a guy who is, you know, top 10, top 5. And so they swung big. Deshaun obviously had the tape at the time of being this great quarterback. I think the things they didn't necessarily account for was, like, the mental side of it, like how his time away was going to impact him, how all the hatred that he's obviously felt wherever he goes was going to impact him. And that's, I think, been a big reason why he struggled here. But when push came to shove, like, I don't blame them for that. And so, like, for trying to upgrade the quarterback position, because that's what every team's trying to do. So the thought process there was sound. And I don't, like, I understand where, yes, there's been moments where Jimmy Haslam's maybe meddled a little bit more and done some things. And I am sure he still has a seat at the table. He's the owner of the team. I'm sure he absolutely does. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he still at times maybe interjects, maybe even at times where he shouldn't. But I do think there is a healthy respect for this regime, and he tries to make that very clear. And, you know, he tries to generally trust them with the football side of things because that's not his job. And so, yeah, I think it's a tough thing for him to shake. But I do think he's taken steps towards, since early on in his tenure as the owner of the team, you know, shaking that a little bit and trying to get away from trying to be quite as hands-on and actually trusting the people that he hired.
Spencer, how about the running back gambit? I mean, it's all about the quarterbacks, but they also drafted two running backs. I'm an avid fantasy player, and when they drafted Judkins early in the second, ahead of Travion Henderson, I'm like, okay, this is a pretty good landing spot for an early day two rookie. You know, we might see Judkins get a ton of touches as a starter for this team. Then they also draft Dylan Sampson, who had his fans as a prospect, and, like, I don't know. What do you think they want to do there?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that stood out about that, those two picks, and then also they restructured Jerome Ford, who's one of the running backs currently on the roster. They restructured his contract last week to sort of reduce his amount, and he took a pay cut, essentially. I think all of that, first and foremost, sort of signaled that they're probably out of the Nick Chubb business. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think Nick Chubb is going to be returning to this team now, which is disappointing for Browns fans because he's a guy that's basically been the face of the franchise the last, you know, since he got here and is just taking the league by storm. So I think there's a little disappointment there. But I'm going to be honest, like, I think the moves they made in the draft at running back and, you know, sort of overhauling the group and setting this new era, if you will, in the backfield, I think it was great by them. I was huge on Quinshon Judkins during this pre-draft process. The way he runs, that physical running style, I kind of compared him a lot to Kareem Hunt, who's another guy that Browns mm-hmm. fans are very familiar with because he played here for several years, and he's actually from here. And so I was really excited about that pick for them. I think he's going to turn out to be really, really, that sort of top-of-the-line guy, that front-line guy. And then Sampson, I think, has, like, another a different dynamic, a different sort of running style, and can sort of be – we saw this great 1-2 punch with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I think they can sort of form their own sort of dynamic duo there, and there's a lot of reason to be excited. So, especially going back to Kevin Stefanski's, like, base offense, what he likes to do, the run game is so pivotal to that group having success. So I think there should be a lot of excitement around the revamped running back room they've built and these two rookies that are coming in and have a chance to kind of blaze this new path that obviously probably won't include Nick Chubb.
Well, I'm not a Browns fan, but I echo your sentiments on Chubb. He always seemed like a super popular, first of all, I mean, great player that didn't give you any reason, you know, not to like him or anything like that. Then the injury challenges and, of course, that gruesome injury in Pittsburgh. The league kind of spoke on him, right? I mean, you get into free agency, and then if it's you get past the draft and a guy isn't signed yet, well, I mean, for as awesome as a runner as he was, I guess the league is saying we don't think so. But I mean, probably somebody takes a look at him. You would think, right?
Yeah, there's been some rumors that the Bears have shown some interest. So, like, somebody's going to sign him at some point. And at this point, like, the market, like you laid out, has kind of dictated that, you know, he's probably not going to get paid a massive amount of money. The fact that he's had two seasons ended by season-ending injuries the last 2 years, which has been unfortunate. So the market's going to sort of dictate that. I can tell you, man, like, Buffalo and Cleveland, I used this comparison earlier, like the fan bases, I think, are very similar in how they're passionate about football and like what they want in their football players. Nick Chubb, if he had ended up in Buffalo, it would have been the exact same effect. Like, mm-hmm. he's very much a work pail, show up and work guy, doesn't do a lot of talking. And the way he ran, like, people fell in love with his style of play. So he was transcendent here, and it is a tough door, I think, for fans to see closed. But he'll land somewhere, and I'm sure it'll be hard for fans to see him in a different uniform. But that's life in the NFL. You know, every player has a shelf life, especially at that position. And the Browns, like I said, have sort of signaled that they're sort of moving on here, and it'll be an unfortunate ending because nobody wanted to see it end that way with the injuries.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
But sometimes that's just how it goes in the NFL.
Right. Spencer, one more for you, please, if you don't mind. Elijah Moore, speaking of players who last through the draft in free agency, I guess, although there was some weird thing where the Browns kind of had his rights, the Bills sign him away from Cleveland. What are the Bills getting? He's always been – he was a prospect that I really liked. I wanted the Bills to draft him 4 years ago. They didn't. And since, he really hasn't had much of a career. The easy thing on a guy like this – especially if he had the pedigree coming into the league, is, well, he hasn't had a good quarterback yet. And, you know, people make that excuse, and maybe it's right. I'm asking you what you think the Bills are getting in Elijah Moore.
I actually think what you just said there is 100% fair. It's no secret that when Elijah Moore had steady quarterback play, and if you look back to his best games in 2023 came when Joe Flacco was starting for that five-game stretch at the end of the season – that helped get the Browns to the playoffs that year. He had his best games then, and some of that was the familiarity with Flacco because they had played together in New York. But like that was a good stretch for him. And then last year, his best games came when Jameis Winston took over at the offense and was a guy that kind of sees the field better and can go through his progressions and do those things. And it was obvious, like, Deshaun really struggled at times with Elijah. Like, there was that first year they were together after they traded for him in 2023, he'd be open all the time, it felt like, and Deshaun would just never be able to see him or find him, and it was the most bizarre thing ever, because you go back and watch the film and be like, he's wide open. Why wasn't he throwing the ball here? Why wasn't he looking here? Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, like, I do think Elijah has a chance to really thrive with you guys in Buffalo, with obviously the talent that is Josh Allen as his quarterback. I don't know. Like, I think at his best, he could probably be like a number two guy. I think he's more so probably a number three guy. But he's a number three guy that can come up big for you when you're getting the ball consistently. And Josh is somebody who's so good. Like, he will absolutely take advantage of what Elijah Moore does best and finding those open spots and zones and things like that to sort of create opportunities and make plays. So, yeah, I think you guys got a pretty good one there. I was surprised the Browns didn't make more of an effort to retain him. I know they put that tender, mm-hmm. that unrestricted free agent tender, which is very rare, so that he counts towards their compensatory pick formula. That was why they did that. But, you know, I was surprised they didn't try to retain him, because right now their receiver room is a little bland and doesn't have a lot to offer. So I was surprised they didn't do that. But I think he ends up in a good place for him in Buffalo, where he has a chance to really thrive.
Interesting. A little bit more room there for Harold Fannin out of Bowling Green to make an impact as a rookie. Maybe we'll talk about him someday in the future. Spencer, you've given us a lot of your time today. Thanks. It's nice to connect with you.
Absolutely. Anytime. I always appreciate coming on closer to my hometown of Rochester. So happy to do it anytime right. You guys want me, and looking forward to future conversations, man. Thanks.
Likewise. Appreciate that. Spencer German, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. I will never not get tripped up over the station in Cleveland and the station in Pittsburgh. I had it written down. I don't always do that. A lot of these guys, believe it or not, I know from memory. But with Cleveland and Pittsburgh, even Filippone, I have to write it down because I think I'm going to think it's the other one. And there I go introducing Spencer. Yes, this has been bothering me for 22 minutes. There I go introducing him, and I just sort of did both. I had it right, then I corrected myself, and then I had to read. Not how you want to start. He used numbers for Elijah Moore. What could he be? A number three. How would you rank these guys? I think we'll be doing a lot of that. Try to figure out how these receivers, the Bills receivers, rank. Where do you want to put Elijah Moore before, you know, we get into camp and everything and start to find out what they think? 803-0550. I don't know what I want to do. Give me these 5 minutes, and if I'm not looking at lottery combinations the whole time, I'll maybe have a take ready. Sal coming up at 5. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
I do think Elijah has a chance to really thrive with you guys in Buffalo, with obviously the talent that is Josh Allen as his quarterback. I think at his best, he could probably be like a number two guy. I think he's more so probably a number three guy. But he's a number three guy that can come up big for you when you're getting the ball consistently. And Josh is somebody who's so good. He will absolutely take advantage of what Elijah Moore does best, finding those open spots and zones and things like that to sort of create opportunities and make plays. I think you guys got a pretty good one there.
Spencer German on Elijah Moore. I know it's last year again, but it's also wide receivers, so I can't quit. But just, you know, just talking about Elijah Moore, it's still fresh. He did media today. I won't apologize. I think it's fine. Ranking these guys. We did this last year, and it was challenging. And 5 guesses would have all been different. Including Kincaid. Pass catchers. Kincaid is wide receiver enough for this. How to rank them in any certain way. Catches, yards, talent, you know, tangible, intangible importance to the Bills. Isn't it going to be like that again here, at least until we know anything? Shakir, Coleman, Kincaid, Palmer, Samuel, and now Elijah Moore, who's like perfect for this game because he just makes it harder. Like, is Elijah Moore last on that list? I hope not. If he's last on the list, he can't play. Like, if he comes in under all these guys, then... Because I think the money they're giving him is enough where he'll have a chance. I mean, I think they'll maybe be expecting him to contribute. So, or else why bother? It changes all the time. It goes up all the time. Is $5 million max like a lot of money? No, it's not a lot of money. But it's also not just, you know, like practice squad money. It's better than that. That's what makes it tough, is trying to figure out who matters how much in their plans. Last year, Marquez Valdes-Scantling got signed, and I remember just learning of that one morning, like, like just another one, another name to the room who has had a, you know, up and down career with maybe mostly down. But the Bills, you know, to their credit, I want to say, looking, hoping, they bring him in. There was a little, maybe $3 million last year, and I thought that might have been enough. This is why I sort of checked myself a minute ago on Moore's $5 million. I thought that might have been enough to mean that he'd be on the field. And he was, you know, sort of. He made the team and played. The guy I left out of the equation last year was Hollins. I don't think I had any problem last year remembering Curtis Samuel. This year, I'm having that problem. But I didn't think Hollins was a serious idea until we got closer, and then it was blocking. He's going to be on the field. He's Davis now. He's going to be on the field all the time. And he was, which meant, you know, Samuel had an injury too, but that he comes down, Kincaid comes down, Coleman sort of didn't ever really go up, thinking about snaps. Then it's Cooper. What a team. Joshua Palmer, in 4 years, has more than 39 catches in a season one time, when he had 72 for the 2022 Chargers. He's only played for the Chargers. Talking about money and clues, Brandon Bean last week doing all that media, starting here. It was with Tyler Dunn, I think, I would say, most of all from what I heard, where he sort of leaned into Palmer. Don't say I haven't done anything. I signed Joshua Palmer, which sounded, the way it read anyway, read like a little much, you know, like who? But okay, that's right. That's a move and that's bigger money and you must have plans for him. And the thing to like about Palmer is the skill set, is the separation ability that the Bills overall lacked. So, okay, he made sense. He's just not a big signing. So, Palmer, more than 39 catches in a season one time in 4 years. Elijah Moore, who's been up and down himself and just has really never stuck as a reliable, as a go-to guy for anybody. Jets, then Browns. Spencer went in on his quarterback life a little bit. Okay. I mean, that's the thing you're going to hear the most often about him as a positive. Or how he played at Ole Miss is, I mean, what kind of chances he had to thrive in the NFL. Fair enough. Palmer, Moore, Shakir. Shakir last year, 76 for 821 and 4. It's fine. And he got big time paid for that kind of stat line. They love him. There just isn't the ceiling. He is the perfect, whatever, leader, maybe, of this whole concept. As a guy that just, like, his ceiling is only down here, but he'll meet it. You know, he's probably going to hit that ceiling. The floor and the ceiling are almost the same with Shakir. So maybe they'll get the same season from him, and I bet they would take it. Because I'm not sure about that. I think they should take it because, in my opinion, like, they should kind of know the point about the ceiling. Maybe they disagree. Maybe they think there's a lot more big play potential or red zone potential for Shakir. I just don't. I would think they would think that way about Coleman. And so where does he come in on this list? He might be the most important one. No, I don't like that. I don't think this team is really that concerned with importance and salvaging, if you will, draft picks. I don't know. It matters to the reputation, Brandon Bean and the organization, but I feel like Sean McDermott doesn't really care when you were drafted or how much you make. Is that a little bit too easy, too cut and dried? Coleman, they're going to really want to get there with. And Kincaid as well. And Kincaid, they've been farther with. Kincaid, reading Bean on him from Tyler, read like He wished he had done more, Bean, after the season ended, to prop up Kincaid. He'd been hurt, and instead of saying we want him to get tougher, words to that effect, he wished he'd had kind of defended his season last year because of injury and maybe something else. So that seemed supportive the way I read that. And he's certainly a big investment too. I don't know. And Samuel, I almost left him off the list again. Samuel, 6-81-2 for the Bills in the playoffs. I was curious about the playoff history with each of these guys, starting with Moore and Palmer. Because I know that one Cleveland team made the playoffs with Flacco. They got blown out in Houston a couple of years ago. That was when they played Houston late in the regular season with Flacco, and it was kind of shocking. Amari Cooper had this record day, and they won. And then they got to the playoffs, got a rematch. Like, oh, well, Cleveland knows how to beat this team, and they just got smoked. Never do that. Never assume because what happened last time, it's going to be the same. Elijah Moore, 2 catches, maybe 2 for 12 in that playoff game. No impact. Palmer, looking him up, it's also 1 playoff game, and he caught 2 passes for the Chargers in that game. That's a game in Jacksonville, I believe, if that's the one he played in, where they were way ahead and lost. And Samuel for the Bills last year, remember that Denver long touchdown he scored against Denver? 6-81-2 in the postseason. Rank these Bills receivers by postseason catches. Shakir's going to be higher. Kincaid might even be higher. Coleman won't than 6. That's Samuel's entire career in the playoffs. He's been in the league since 2017, never made the playoffs with Carolina or Washington before that last season here. Well, it's not that we have to do this every day. It probably sounds like it because we have so far. That streak will end, I promise. I just think it's the same as last year in that if you ask X number of people to rank these 6 players, maybe you think somebody else belongs on the list, by any certain way, I think you get just that many different answers. Maybe Shakir is always first. It's a day of combinations. We're ranking. We're looking at lottery balls. It's really been a day of combinations so far. The lottery tonight. Before we get to a break, Zach just informed me, and I went and watched a short clip. So Brett Boone, who was on our show the last 2 seasons, once a month talking baseball, we haven't had him on this year. Today on his podcast, maybe it already had been announced, but it was announced that he is taking a job as the hitting coach for the Texas Rangers. So I don't know. Maybe the podcast won't end, but he'll be doing it if he's doing it as a hitting coach in the major leagues. And I just watched him tell the story of how it happened. He went to USC. Did he go to USC, maybe? He threw out the first pitch at a game recently for USC, and he ran into Michael Young, who he was teammates with, and he knew. And they started talking, and I guess he knows Bochy really well. He played for him, and that's the manager of the Rangers. And then they hired him. So, just like that. Shades of Pegula LaFontaine. They just ran into each other, and he hired him. Hope it works out better for Brett. 803-0550, Sal at 5.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey, this is Mike Shope on WGR. Okay, here comes another one for tonight. 7-11-14, right? You're nodding? You don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not nodding. You just turned me off. The lottery. Winning combinations for the Sabres available at NHL.com. I believe there are 65 of them out of 1,000 or 1,001 if you include the one where they redo it. 11, 12, 13, 14, let's go. 7-11-14, French Connection, with either 9 or 13. 9. 9 is Eichel. 9 is Zach Benson. We like Zach Benson in here a lot. Evander Kane. Rick Martin, who's 7, is retired, the late, great Rick Martin, wore 9 as well early in his career for the Sabres. I don't know if he started with 9, but he did wear it. I feel like in those days, and I wouldn't know, it's just a guess, that maybe they just traded numbers sometimes. Just somebody didn't bring their jersey to the rink. They forgot it, so they just put on 9. Probably not what happened. So 7-11-14... Okay, that's good karma. 9 or 13? 13, Oh, yeah. No, I didn't have an oh, yeah there. I thought I did, but I checked, and I don't really have an oh, yeah there. 13, Yuri Himalev. Be my number one, I think, here. Norris is 13. The next player to have his number retired by the Sabres, Josh Norris. This is the one. All right, which is better? Which one do you want more? How do you want to win this thing? Let's get greedy. I don't want to just win it. I want to win it my way. 7-11-14, 9, or 13. Also, by the way, if you leave out 7, 11 and 14, 9 and 13, that's a winner. Lottery balls. For the first time on the broadcast tonight, which makes me very disappointed that I won't see it live, they are showing the balls, not just, it already happened, we put all the logos and envelopes on cards, and here we're going to show them to you you know, on our terms. No, this is like they're doing the drawing live, which I think is great. Transparency is good. The league should have wanted to do this a long time ago. Maybe it's, in their mind, not a better TV show this way, but I'm going to like it more. Win probabilities changing. You see a 5 come up, and it won't mean anything to you by itself, but right there, the ESPN, is it ESPN? Probably, right? They're going to change the odds, and you'll see, and it's going to be an hour for two draws, at least two, probably two, unless the same team wins both, and then they'll do it over. Or you get that very exciting pick again option, 11, 12, 13, 14, then they do it over. I don't know why the math works the way it works, but I love it. 1,000 possible combinations for these 14 numbers, four draws of 1 to 14, and then one left over that we're going to make it a redo. Well, that would be great. I'd love to have the redo. So Greg Popovich stepped down as the coach of the San Antonio Spurs. Maybe you saw it. I can't give you all day, but think for a minute. Who now becomes the longest tenured coach in any of the big four sports that's currently coaching? Had his job for the longest. It was Popovich. By a lot, I think. By a lot. At least it was him. I don't know by how much. At least it was Popovich. But he resigns. Who now becomes all four sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, the longest tenured coach on his team? Like Lindy Ruff doesn't count, even though he'd be up there. Maybe he'd be number one for like all the coaches now when they started. I don't know if he'd be number one, would he? Maybe not. But it's not continuous with the Sabres, so that doesn't count. The answer is Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has had his job longer than any coach in the big four sports has had theirs. I don't think I would have guessed him, but I don't know who I would have guessed. It still just feels like it's not long enough for you to be number one on that list out of 100 and some jobs. But he is. Sal Capaccio coming up. Elijah Moore revealed today that red is his favorite color. We may end up getting into that. If we do, that's a bad sign. I already got into it right here, so we don't need more of that. That's his favorite color, though, so now you know. Mike Schoep here with Sal after sports. This is WGR.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.